We'll be looking today at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 25. 1 Peter chapter 2, and let's begin reading in verse 18 and read through verse 25. Peter said, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when you be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." A key theme in the book of 1 Peter is submission, obeying people who have authority over us. And we call that delegated authority because all authority comes from God and resides in God. But God does delegate authority to certain people in this life, and that is authority over other people. That is authority to tell other people what to do in certain ways. Now, of course, we're talking about matters of judgment here. We're not saying that men on earth have authority delegated to them from God to change God's law, to make moral laws, to make religious laws. But what we're saying is that God gives authority to certain people on earth over other people. And so parents have authority over their children, governments have authority over the citizens, and in many other areas of life, you find this delegated authority. This is a primary subject for Christians in the New Testament. And so the first area of subjection that Peter talked about is subjection to the government. Now, that's what he talked about in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. That's where he said that we are to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man. Now, the next area of submission is the subjection of servants to masters. That is 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 18. Slavery in the New Testament was common, and many of these slaves heard the gospel and became Christians. So what was the situation of these slaves after they were baptized? When they became Christians, were they still obligated to their masters? The New Testament says quite a lot about this relationship. Paul wrote to Christians who were slaves, and he also wrote to their masters. And he gave instructions to the slaves and to the masters. So you read about that in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6. You read about it in Colossians 3 and Colossians 4. The book of Philemon is a book about a runaway slave and his Christian master. And so the book of Philemon is a perfect book to study about the subject of slavery. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul mentions slavery, and in Galatians 3, verse 28, he mentions slavery again. So there is much teaching in the New Testament on the subject of slavery. Paul told these slaves to obey their masters. He told them the same thing that Peter is saying here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. He said, "Submit to, obey those who are your masters according to the flesh." And he also told the masters to be fair and to treat their servants right, to treat their servants in a way that they would want to be treated. And that's really the gist of New Testament teaching on this subject. Now remember, in New Testament times, that many of these servants owed more money than they could pay. And because they didn't have enough money to get out of debt, they had to, in a sense, sell themselves. They had to work out that debt as much as they could, and if they could at all. And this is why many people prefer the word bond servant rather than slave or even servant. an indentured servant, so to speak. And so these are the people that Paul talked about and talked to, and these are the people that Peter addresses here. And sometimes these servants were in situations that were not good. What were they to do when they were in those kinds of circumstances? Now, that's what 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 25 is all about. And remember that one of the main themes of the book of 1 Peter is the theme of suffering. And that really goes hand in hand with what we're talking about here. And that is one of the other main themes of this book is submission. And so these servants were having to be in subjection. They were having to submit, and they were doing that even though they were suffering. So in verse 18, Peter's first instruction to these servants is, be subject. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. You submit to them. You obey them. Don't rebel against them. And remember that you owe this debt. Now notice that just as Peter tells all Christians to submit to the government, he tells these servants to submit to their masters. And remember, when Peter told Christians in the first century to submit to the government, the Roman government was the government in power. And that government was corrupt and it was hostile to Christians. But Peter said, you submit yourselves, you be in subjection to them, you obey the government as far as you possibly can. And so now, in the same way, he tells these servants to do the same. You be in subjection to, that is, you submit to your masters with all fear, that is, with all respect. Now, some of these slaves were fortunate. They had masters that were, as he says, good and gentle. There were some of these servants that had masters that were kind, that were fair, and what a blessing that was to these Christians who were servants at the same time. So Peter says, if you have a master who is good to you and gentle to you, you submit yourself. Well, what if, then, a Christian had a master who was not good to him? What if a Christian was a servant to a master that was, as Peter says here, froward, and that word means harsh? Sometimes in life, there are people who have authority over you that are harsh. Now, that person can be, or those people can be, rulers. That person can be an employer who is mean or harsh or unfair. That person can be a teacher who is unfair or who is harsh. That person can be a parent who is not just, who is harsh, who is even mean to his own children. Now, what did Peter tell these slaves to do when they had harsh masters? Somebody says, well, why didn't they just leave those masters? Why didn't they just quit? Well, it wasn't like quitting a job in our time and being able to get another job very easily, because economically, they couldn't afford it. And legally, they could not, because runaway slaves in Peter's time and in Paul's time were arrested. That's what the book of Philemon is about. The book of Philemon is about a runaway slave named Onesimus. Paul met him in prison. He'd been arrested because he had run away from his master. And so it's not like that these slaves could just leave that situation and get out of it. They had to submit. And this is where patience in suffering comes in. Sometimes there are situations in life that we can't help and that we cannot change, and we just have to endure it. So in verses 19 and 20, Peter said, this is thankworthy, and that means this is commendable. What is it that is commendable? Not that you have a master who is harsh, but that even though you have a master who is harsh, because of your conscience toward God, you endure. You endure even though, he says, you are suffering wrongfully. He says that is commendable. And in verse 20, he illustrates this. He says, if you're punished when you deserve it, and you endure that punishment, you take what you deserve, you take your punishment. He said, do people admire you for that? Do people compliment you because you've done wrong and you're punished for it? No. He says, but on the other hand, if you don't deserve that punishment, and you endure that suffering, that is special. So in verse 20, he said, what glory is it? If when you be buffeted for your faults, in other words, you're beaten for your faults, and you deserve it, he says, and you take it patiently, then what is unusual about that? What is commendable about doing that? Because after all, you deserve that punishment, he says. But if, when you do well, and you don't deserve that punishment, and yet you suffer for doing well, and you take it patiently, he said, that is acceptable with God. Now, to endure, to take this kind of suffering patiently, means to keep your faith. It means that you're not to be bitter and mean. It means that you don't retaliate and lose your faith. Now, God knows that a person in this situation is going to be hurt. God knows that a person who is treated like this is going to be afraid at times. And God understands that a person in this situation is going to feel angry. And the Bible shows that a person does have the right to stand up for himself. Jesus said in Luke 17, verse 3, if your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. But what Peter is talking about here is a situation where you're limited. You're not able to defend yourself. You're not able to do anything about your situation. So sometimes you can defend yourself, and sometimes you cannot stand up for yourself. These people were in a situation that they could not get out of, and they could not do anything about the mistreatment that they were receiving. So overall, what he's saying is, stay faithful to God in spite of the suffering and the unfair treatment that you receive in this life. There are many people that go down the wrong path in life because they've been treated unfairly. And the Bible teaches us that if we're going to be right with God, we have to learn to endure unfair treatment in life. And the absolute supreme example of somebody being treated unfairly is Jesus Christ. That's why he says what he does beginning in verse 21. He says, for even hereunto, that is to this kind of patient suffering and enduring that suffering, you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Now, sometimes that verse is quoted, and we say that Jesus is our example, and we ought to follow Jesus' example. We ought to do good because Jesus did good. We ought to forgive because Jesus forgave. We ought to teach the Bible because Jesus taught other people. And it is true that Jesus is our example in every area of the Christian life. But this passage says that Jesus is our example in one area, one specific area, and that is suffering. So just as Jesus suffered, we're to suffer. And if we follow the footsteps of Jesus, that means we're going to suffer, and we're going to suffer sometimes when we don't deserve it as Christians. Now, the Bible says that in verses 22 and 23, that when Jesus suffered, he did not retaliate, even though he was unjustly executed and cruelly mocked while he was on the cross. He maintained his faith, and he preserved his integrity and dignity. Look at verse 22 and 23. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And when he was reviled, he reviled not again. In other words, when those Jewish leaders were mocking him as he was dying on the cross, the Bible says that Jesus did not threaten them. He did not revile them like they reviled him. But he committed himself to him that judges righteously. Now, the bottom line to this is in verse 24 and 25. And that is, Jesus endured. And because he endured this unfair treatment in life, we're able to be saved from our sins, even sins that we've committed against other people where we ourselves have been unfair. This is God's answer to sin in this life, and that comes through the blood of Jesus dying on the cross.